Well, we've done it. We've made it through another year. That means it's time to look back and celebrate the lives of a few of those we've lost along the way. It doesn't have to be a glum task, at least not according to Harry de Ketville. He's the former obituaries editor for the British newspaper The Telegraph.
It's never depressing. Far from it. It's hugely uplifting because you write relentlessly about people who've done amazing things, and they have done amazing things at every stage in their life. So if you are a middle-aged man like I am, and you think here is the onset of midlife crisis, you're constantly surrounded by people who are also middle-aged once, but went on to become heroes in later life and, you know, wrote their magnum opus when they were 93. So you're constantly surrounded by how wonderful humans can be. And that's not always the case in newspapers. So people achieve incredible things, and they do them at all stages in life. And that's uplifting, not depressing.
So how do you decide who to write about? I know you're as fond of obits about not so famous people. So who decides?
Well, the obituaries editor decides, and that's why it's such a great job, because it contains a fair element of the dictator's powers. You know, if people strike your interest, then you write about them. I mean, inevitably, there is a certain level of fame where you are obliged and the readers demand it. But so, ultimately, anything that sparks the reader's interest is the threshold that you have to cross.
So give us an example of someone you decided to write an obit about that maybe another editor wouldn't have decided.
Well, the Telegraph is famous for obits of eccentric figures. We once did an obit about a chap whose name momentarily escapes me, but imagine he was called John Viner, for instance, and the obit began, John Viner, who has died aged 73, excelled in teaching lions how to ride motorcycles, and he was a circus performer, and I just think that kind of thing immediately grasps the attention and readers' eyes light up. I mean, if you can accompany it with a photograph of a lion riding a motorcycle, all the better.
What about the whole issue of what a person was really like? You can write an obit and lots of people who are real jerks sound really great. How do you get around that issue?
Sometimes I would say that it's not our job to get around it. It may even be our job to signal that. Obituaries, perhaps when they started out in British newspapers, had a certain code, which became so famous that it was almost no point at all that you would say someone was a bon vivant, you know, if they're an alcoholic drunk, and you would say that they enjoyed the company of women if they were basically assaulting everyone they saw. And it was just, you know, there was a sort of code, and you could say someone, I mean, famously might say someone was a confirmed bachelor if they were gay. And those days have rather passed now. But when it comes to how people behave and act, if they're real jerks, as you say, then you tell an anecdote which makes that perfectly clear. And there are several famous Telegraph obits where almost the entire obit is about just how ghastly people are.
Tell us about one of your favorite obits.
Well, one of my favorite, which just goes to show the point that you don't have to be a glorious and soul and a great achiever to feature in the obituaries column, is that of the 7th Marquess of Bristol, who was known as Lord Harvey, and he died a young man. He inherited vast wealth and spent it. The obit notably says that at one of his own soirees, frustrated by his inability to open a fridge for some champagne, he blew the door off with a shotgun. At another party, he demolished a 500-glass champagne fountain by tying a piece of cotton thread between it and a duchess's chair. On another occasion, he lent an American woman a rubber dinghy to fish in the lake at Ickworth, then fired at it until it sank. The more she screamed, the more he laughed. He was clearly a deeply unpleasant man, but that's not always a bad thing when it comes to obits.
What would you like your own obituary to say?
Ah, it's hard for anyone to imagine their own death and reflect upon it. I don't know. I hope that it would give my journalistic career in the round, but above all, that I enjoyed myself in living my life, and I think that is the crucial thing that comes out in great lives, is that people feel that they have lived every moment and really pushed themselves. So I suppose that's all that one can hope for from one's own life, as well as, of course, teaching lions how to ride motorcycles.
Harry de Ketville served as the obituaries editor for the British newspaper The Telegraph, and he's edited a collection of those obits called Thinker, Failure, Soldier, Jailer, an anthology of great lives in 365 days. Thanks, Harry.
Thank you very much.
Obituary writer Heather Lendy faces a different sort of task from her base in the Alaskan town of Haines. She writes for the Chilkat Valley News, where she takes stock of those who've made life in her small town so vibrant.
Rural Alaska, Haines, where I live, is a lot like a foreign country in some ways. We come in and out via a ferry or a small plane from Juneau, and the ferry's about a 4.5-hour ride up the longest fjord in North America. The other thing about Haines that makes it really foreign in relationship to what I do as an obituary writer is our death rituals. We don't have a mortuary here or an undertaker. And the local ambulance crew will pick up a body at a house and keep it at the fire hall for 3 days. And while the body is there, friends or neighbors or volunteers prepare the body for burial. And often family members even make their own caskets. You can buy a couple models at the local hardware store. And the reason I write obituaries really is because everybody helps with those death rituals, whether it's making casseroles or playing the music or typing up the funeral program. And as a writer, I realized that I could do the obituaries. About a year ago on Christmas Day, there was a woman named Polly Budke, and she was old and ill and had come home to die in hospice care, and her family was all around. And one of the last things she did was give them all instructions on how to properly roast the turkey. And I prefer, I think, when I'm writing these obituaries, to leave behind stories that resonate with people that may not have even known the person, or something that transcends maybe just even the story of their life. And with Polly, several people told me that she had given them traveling money when they went on a trip. She'd hear they were leaving and she'd send them a little card with $10 or $20 in it. And I love that. And it's something, you know, when you read that, you say to yourself, I'm going to do that. It's such an easy thing to do. And nowadays, you know, a coffee in the airport's $5 and a newspaper. And just sending someone with that little note just seemed a really nice thing. There was another woman that I wrote about. I was thinking about her. Her family owned the local grocery store for years. And there was just a beautiful line when I was writing her obituary that came from one of her nieces. And she said that Judy was her name. She said she really cared about children, and not just hers, but us, her niece and nephew, and the neighbor kids. And she said she'd take the children out at night to look at the stars and explain things to us, anything we wanted to know. And I love that image. I want to be, I think, that kind of grandma or neighbor that takes the children out at night and looks at the stars and just answers anything they want to know. I am asked a lot about what makes a good life. And I think I've written now about 400 obituaries, all for people that I know and live with in this small town, over the course of 20 years. And I think if I had to say one word, it really comes down to relationships. All of it is, when we go, do we leave people behind that will miss us? And it doesn't seem to matter if you were perceived as the most successful person in town. If people weren't really sad when you left, it seemed like you've missed an opportunity in your life. And now I think about that a lot in the way I live. I think, you know, am I generous? Am I kind? Am I grateful? Those are the things that make a good life. And do I care about people? One friend told me that, and I've found this to be true in writing obituaries, that if you want to have a lot of friends, that you have to be a good friend. And I take that to heart, and it's something that I have learned in writing obituaries.
Heather Lundy spoke with us from Haines, Alaska, where she writes for the Chilkat Valley News. Her latest book is called Find the Good: Unexpected Life Lessons from a Small Town Obituary Writer. And we'll hear from Heather again before we wrap up today.